Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website, where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is just after 10 on Friday morning. Sex Talk with John T. Searle. And such a special guest, an old friend, and one of the most talented people that I know. I'm just so excited and honored to have you here. Chris Tuckerlund, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
An absolute pleasure, John T.
You got to put this close to your mic.
An absolute pleasure, John T.
Oh, that's
there
nice.
We go.
This man is a wonder.
He is, absolutely.
Yeah.
We were just talking outside that we've known each other for the better part of 20 years or more.
Yes.
And started kind of this journey at the same time in a lot of ways.
Yes, our individual journeys which have crossed over the years.
Yeah.
And I might add, approach the same topic, but from different angles.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. But let us begin with this.
Ninja Seth, Chocolate Starfish, Twitterbag, Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
pervertibles.
Dirty dictionary word.
Pervertibles. I love this. Any idea?
It's like a convertible car. So it's a pervertible. Maybe it's somebody who's pervy driving around with his beautiful cock outside, or somebody flashing her breasts or her vagina.
Okay. No, you're quite far from there. Very, very cold. Chris, any idea what a pervertible is?
Someone who's easily influenced by something, by a perversion, what it may be perceived as a perversion?
No, quite far from there. Okay, so we will tell you towards the end of the show what a pervertible is. I really like it, I have to tell you. It was such a, and it's so simple, but it's a lot of fun.
Pervertible.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Is there a dictionary word that has a definition that
is.
You are going to
that's
lay on us at the end of the hour?
That's
yes.
That's okay.
It. That's what it
good,
is.
I was hoping.
We will put everybody out of their misery.
Jonty thinks he believes it's all about knowledge. So he brings the knowledge. If you know what's a pervertible, you know, then you can have it an expansion in your mind, and then you know, you'll know more about kink, sex. You have more to something to refer to, maybe. Mm. Yeah.
So, please join our conversation on 0861-555-189. We are on WeChat. We're on Twitter. Maybe we're on WeChat. Dunk, we don't have any WeChat screens up here.
We are definitely on Twitter, Cliff C. So it's sexdoc_CliffC.
And we are going to put a lot of stuff out on Periscope today because Chris is going to share some of the most amazing sounds and instruments with us.
It's really something you can't find anywhere. Yeah. It's amazing.
So we were having a discussion last week, Chris and I, 2 weeks ago, at an event that you did. And we were talking about the fact that in the world of Tantra, sex is so much more than just our genitals. And often that's just the way in. That's the entry point. And then it's so much about this dance of energy between the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine, and all of those characteristics. The water and the fire, the earth and the air. This constant movement of energy.
And polarities, balancing polarities.
Yeah, the juxtaposition and the rhythm between them and the flow between them. You're in one, then you're in the other. You experience the fire, you experience the water, you experience the flow, the stillness. Absolutely everything. And that is the dance, the cosmic dance.
Yes.
So the entire universe is making love all the time.
Yes.
In this flow of energy.
I agree. In my field, or the what I'm focused on, it's the polarities of silence and sound. When they marry together, you get this harmony of opposites, which can be translated into a sexual act. You know, when you get a man and a woman coming together, and at the end you have this sense of harmony because the polarities have balanced out from the interaction.
So here's an interesting question. I gave a talk on Tuesday night, and it was so cool to meet some of our listeners there who I'd never met before. And I was talking about what we were doing on the show today, and we were talking about the polarity of sound and silence. And somebody asked a question: which is masculine and which is feminine? And of course somebody else answered, the feminine is not the silence,
because women can't be quiet.
Well, that is a popular conception, I must add, which is quite supported by the verbal activities of a lot of women. But I would agree that the silence is the feminine aspect, because it can hold the vibration of the sound, which is the masculine. And so the masculine is supported by the silence and allowed to manifest, from my perception.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, because if you think about the spectrum of sensual and sexual experiences that go into the realm of energy, we can consciously create experiences of allowing us to manifest and explore and experience those different energies. And music becomes often, and sound is such a vehicle for that to happen in.
Yes.
You know, firstly, it helps create a space. It helps. One of the principles of conscious sexuality says that we can use certain experiences to create and build that energy within us to take us to the space for certain experiences, which really enhances that.
A lot of people like listening to music while they're making love.
Yeah.
It enhances their experience. Yeah. I know that, yeah.
And think about the different kinds of music and different kinds of sound. And even as a precursor, you know, last time we were in Mozambique, we taught so much about this, of how you use different energy experiences, and some of them were sound experiences, particularly like the fire sounds, the
to really wake up everybody,
build that energy.
Yeah.
But sound is simply energy.
Yes, energy in motion.
That's it. And interesting thing, because I found this beautiful definition of a wave before we went up to Mozambique. And sound is simply waves.
Yes.
That a wave is an energy transport phenomenon.
Yes.
And I really love that, because we can actually create, with an intention, with a purpose, different waves to get us to different places.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pleasure also works in waves.
Yeah. But think about that. And pleasure is not only about sex. It's the fullness of life. It's enjoying your body. It's enjoying the elements, food. It's enjoying people. And the vibration of that, the frequency of pleasure, is so much higher than the frequency of heaviness, of pain, of sadness.
Yes.
No judgment. None of them are better than any other. It's simply different frequencies.
And different sounds create different reactions in us, pleasurable or not. And so it makes a lot of sense to utilize some sounds in order to bring about a transformation in the listener. And that's pretty much my game, is that sound creates transformation, and you use harmonious, pleasurable sounds to transform the listener.
And it becomes an amazing journey, an amazing meditation.
Chris, can you tell us a little bit, for the unexperienced people that don't know you for 20 years, unfortunately, what is it that you do? What is it that amazing thing that you do?
Well, I call myself a sound therapist, and I've been a musician for about 40 years. I play wind instruments mainly, including my mouth, which I would call a wind instrument. It's the oldest instrument in the world, so I use vocal sounds, and I use sax and flute in performance. Mm. But in sound therapy, as a sound therapist, I use sounds which are evocations of natural sounds to help people release and restore harmony. I use sounds that are in harmony with themselves. And I can demonstrate that in a couple of minutes, a sound that is in harmony with itself, including the human voice. And that is what brings about release and transformation in people who receive it. So I'm a musician and a sound therapist, essentially.
That's beautiful. Not a lot of people do that.
No, it's quite... specific.
You and Jonty are like two very rare gurus that we need to close here. Maybe bring some security. Not enough people do that. Because Jonty, when he explained about your work, it sounds like, you know, when I understand the dimension that you work in and you stay so grounded, it's just a therapeutic work that you do without allowing it to take you to places of ego. Places of, you know, to get to the popularity of it, because music has become so popular. Everybody just goes for the popular music.
I'm afraid, generally speaking, music has become a recreational thing that you only use at parties and as background music in supermarkets. But music for the sake of transformation, upliftment, is something that's rarely used. But I would also like to say that it is gaining in recognition and popularity these days, where people are starting to become aware that sound in a simple and yet powerful form is a readily available tool for self-empowerment and transformation, and are starting to use it and recognize it. Even Western medical science is starting to use sound as a form of helping people with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, dementia, etc., people with tinnitus, and actually quite a wide range of ailments.
That's wonderful. Okay.
So let's hear something, Chris.
Okay, so when I was talking about in sound, shall we do the funny stuff first or the...
Let's do the serious stuff first.
Okay, some serious stuff. When I was talking about in sound therapy, a sound that is in harmony with itself, what that means is two or more notes occurring simultaneously that are in harmony with themselves, so making a chord. So I'd just like to demonstrate the sound of a Tibetan bowl, and also for the visuals.
Is this going out on Periscope?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So this Tibetan bowl is made of seven different metals, and they all interact with each other to produce a very rich, harmonious sound. I've got three bowls here. Oops. And you can clearly hear that... there's quite a few notes in. In that sound. And so those are sounds that are in harmony with themselves. And the logical way of using that sound is to entrain somebody back into harmony by using a sound that's in harmony with itself. And that sound can also be demonstrated and utilized by the human voice in something that's called overtone singing, which is the ability to produce two or more notes like that bowl, two or more notes that are in harmony with themselves. So it's something like this.
Mm-hmm.
that's overtone singing.
It's ancient.
Yes.
And you can just kind of hear that echoing like in the mountains of Tibet. And
yes.
Going out around the world from there.
Indeed.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is on any healing journey, the goal of healing is just bringing us back to ourselves.
Restoring harmony.
Yeah, and whichever route it is that you choose. So if you're working with me, it's more working with sexual energy, with you more working with sound. But it's simply the idea of using energy in different ways to bring us back to ourselves.
Yes, bringing polarities back into harmony.
Yeah.
So masculine, feminine, sound, silence. Mm. Those are the main polarities that we juggle with in our lives. Each one of us has a dynamic, fixed, focused masculine side and a still holding feminine side, and that occurs on a cellular level, courtesy of our parents. We are masculine and feminine on a cellular level, and restoring harmony between those polarities is something that we could all become aware of and start utilizing readily available energy at our disposal. So you don't need, I'm not saying it's a wrong thing, but you don't need a sexual partner if you don't have one, and you need not stress about it. You can start balancing yourself as an individual by using silence and sound. And I have done so and I'm still doing so for a long time. Put it this way, I'm celibate at this time and have been for quite a while. I don't want to shock the listeners by telling them how long, but I'm quite happy.
Chris, you've got to do a lot to shock our listeners.
Really?
After what we've done here.
So I find a marriage of those opposites, those polarities, inside my own being. And that is what monks and shamans, mystics have been doing since the memory of humanity, is finding that peace and that balance within themselves without the need to go out and find someone that's going to complete you. That's such a cliched and
we're talking about it a lot. The cliche,
it's an impossibility for someone to complete you.
It's a romantic thing and a mutation of people's focus and an unrealistic thing. It's right at home. It's not outside you.
No.
That completion.
You've got to find it within.
Exactly.
And then it needs to be a choice to share it with someone in the way that you do.
Yes.
But a very conscious choice.
In an honoring and spiritual manner, not just having sex for the sake of it.
Because
in a casual way.
Yeah. There's never a level of fulfillment in that. But the fulfillment is, it's a very limiting simply because it becomes very much about having an orgasm. It's very much about being in that moment. And as soon as it's done, we're looking for the next one.
Exactly. It's like a drug.
Yeah. There's nothing that touches your heart, that touches your soul, that says, oh, let me sit with this. And that it's really inside in your heart. And that's the real power. And more, you know, I was thinking about this because my website is kind of about to go through a bit of a transformation. And my personal journey has been one of reinventing myself in a sexual context over the years, starting this journey from a very sexual point of view and moving into this idea of that it's such an expression of energy and sensuality and connection. And that for me is more the power. Coming into that and then expressing and sharing that in the way that we choose, but out of very conscious choice.
Yes. And it starts with the individual.
It has to.
And goes out from there. That's what ideally the process should be.
So you do something called a sound journey, which is a very beautiful meditative healing experience, because for some people it's incredibly emotional. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so a sound journey means I get a group of people or an individual that they lie down, close their eyes, and allow themselves to be serenaded on a cellular level and also on a soul level with sound, because sound works on a cellular level and it passes through our bodies 4.5 to 5 times faster than it does through air. And water amplifies sound. So we know that our bodies are made mainly of water. So we have a perfect conductor of and transmitter and receiver of energy, whether it's audible to us or not. So these people receive a cellular sound bath using instruments that have a rich, harmonious sound that are in harmony with themselves, as I demonstrated earlier. And what it does is it shakes loose stress and trauma in the recipient and vibrates their cells back into alignment. So on a physical level, it works like that. But also emotionally, spiritually, it helps to release energy which is trapped inside our bodies. And so for me, sound is not just the audible stuff. It's the inaudible yet very dramatic effect of thoughts, microwaves, TV waves. There's so much energy passing through the air that we are unaware of because we can't hear it. And so when we start making ourselves aware of that sound is also inaudible energy and that affects our cells just as much as audible sound. So it's been proven, for example, that by the experiments of Dr. Masaru Emoto, the Japanese scientist who under laboratory conditions has proven that water molecules change sound according to what you say or even think towards them.
Yeah, his work is amazing. And you look at the pictures of snowflakes and water that have been treated with love as opposed to those that haven't, and the shapes are incredibly different.
Yeah, so you could say a sound journey is a love treatment.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
A love bath.
Yeah.
Because harmony, a sound that's in harmony is like transmitting love to somebody.
Yeah. So you know what we're going to have to do next time you're in Joburg when it's warmer is we're going to have to, we do this beautiful thing called a water flow massage. So it's in an indoor heated pool.
Yeah.
It's very gentle. It's very intimate. And I think next time you are here when it's warm, because we're not doing any during winter, you've got to do one with sound. Because it's this incredible contained space, this beautiful pool, and its own glass setting. And to have sound as a part of that is going to be
wonderful, incredible. Yeah. Because sound, water is such a effective conductor of sound.
That's be beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that also help make what we do in Mozambique so powerful, because it's kind of right on the beach.
For sure.
So you're really connected to that energy.
Yes. I was going to say also a sound journey contains a lot of evocations of natural sounds.
The elemental.
Yeah. So the sound of water, a rain stick or a wave basket, the sound of wind, with whether I make it with my mouth like... Wow. Or with a flute, and so those evocations of natural sounds is what helps people to relax and to open up to the other sounds, the overtone singing.
And that connects us with such deep aspects of our being.
Yes, primal.
Yeah.
It's a reminder of where we come from and where we can go to if we so choose. So at any given stage, an individual can decide, okay, I don't need to feel stressed and anxious and angry. I can go to that place of relaxation, harmony, just by listening to music or making sounds for myself. And that's one of the things that I teach people is how to use their voices, which is the original instrument, to create a transformation inside themselves. And when you use your voice, you become the instrument and the musician at the same time. And that's such a wonderful thing which we have mostly forgotten about in our pursuits and anxiety as a race.
Share some of that with us. What are the sounds somebody can learn to make to switch, change energy states?
Well, it's simple toning, which is making using vowel sounds as mantras. So a mantra is something that through repetition gains power and informs the mind. So you have many mantras in many different religions. But basically, I encourage people in the beginning to use vowel sounds because vowel sounds are neutral. They don't subscribe to any particular religion. And they have the lifeblood and vitality of expression. So when you use a vowel sound, you can convey a feeling and emotion much more effectively than if you use the consonant, you know, like a k, 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 or t. If you go, you know, it conveys.
Just that conveys sigh. It.
Yeah.
That's such a release.
Yeah, a release. Yes. So I get them to do sighs of release as well. And we use vowel sounds as mantras and go through the chakras one by one. So we start at the bottom, and it's like tuning an instrument. You start at the bottom with one note and you ascend note by note, and you literally I take them through a retuning of a being as a interaction of many different frequencies and restore harmony.
Share a little bit of that, please.
Okay. Well, I've got this flute here.
Also, with your amazing voice, which is every time you open your mouth and you start making a sound, it's unbelievable.
So, for example, I would do a scale. So that's going through a scale, and it's like an octave of awareness, essentially, not just an octave in music that we go through. And at the end of it, people feel balanced and calm. And also I use humor when I conduct a play shop. I call them a play shop. So I get people to imitate different instruments and animals. My nickname is The Marvelous Mouth, and I do a one-man show called The Marvelous Mouth. But for example, I discovered when I was young that I'm very good at the mouth trumpet. So I go... And so I do a call and response thing with people where I get them to go like this, and then I give the call and I go, and they answer, and they go, there you go. Fazibidip-tap-tub-zee-za.
Fazibidip-tap-tub-zee-ba.
Sweet-ab-zab-do-dash.
Sweet up tap to zedge.
Fadi bidip tap toop zee slap chips.
Fadi bidip tap tap slap chips.
Sweet up zeep slap chips.
Sweet up a bip pap slap chips.
So you make people laugh.
Yeah, people laugh and they relax, and you know, they imitate cats and dogs and turkeys and so on. And then once we've gone through that, then I get the group to compose a piece of music that's original and has never been heard and will never be heard again. So we go around, and one by one, people add their voices. So if I go, pat, and then the person next to me goes,
whoop, pat, whoop, whoop, whoop,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And one by one, each person adds their sound into the circle, into the space that is provided by silence. And by the end of, we come a full circle and we've got this amazing piece of music that's full of rhythm and sounds and fun. It's a fun thing.
It is. It's a beautiful thing. And yeah. I've so enjoyed these experiences. Yeah, it's really amazing. Because sound for me is interesting, because I've always been told that I was tone deaf. So, listen, back in the day when I was thinking about being a rabbi, and I used to help out at one of the very small congregations that didn't have a full-time rabbi anymore in Springs. And the services were kind of really, they were pretty dull, and there were all these old people sitting there. And the one day I thought, I have to sing, because this is just getting out of hand. And after 2 minutes, the chairman comes up to where I am, and he said, we've had requests that you stop singing. And that was kind of it for me. But it's been kind of an awakening recently of actually just moving more and exploring this world more. And it's so much fun.
The world of sound.
Yeah.
And yourself, which is yourself.
Yeah.
We are all made of sound. The entire universe is made with sound. So when you explore the world of sound, you're actually exploring yourself and the entire world around you. And so what if somebody says to you initially, you know, you can't sing? Maybe it's because you're still relearning how to use your instrument.
But I sound pretty good to myself. And when Amy, my daughter, was small, I sounded pretty good to her. But since she's grown up now, she says, no, Dad. But, you know, an interesting thing about sound, and we talk about this quite a lot, especially when it comes to sex. Who makes noise during sex?
Women.
Women.
Yeah.
Well, I'd
say
both.
They're almost expected.
Yeah, but a lot of times men are really quiet during
sex.
Yes,
I know.
Until they get in touch with that energy of it.
Yes.
And it's such an amazing way for men to get in touch with that fire energy.
Yes.
Firstly, especially those real kind of growls and grunts. Those really earth elemental sounds.
Yes, I'm fairly noisy, as I remember.
That's actually beautiful. But most men think it's not cool or not, you know, it's masculine or just from experience.
Because even when you watch porn, you never hear a man make a sound. You don't even know when a man's had an orgasm.
Yes.
He doesn't ejaculate all over somebody.
Yeah. Exactly.
His breathing doesn't even change.
Even facial expressions, any expression, a man is expected to do the rhythmical, whatever the case. Jonty, have you seen the article I've sent you about, it's actually quite interesting, it's about, you know, therapeutic work through porn. Some women that has been, or men that has been through sexually assaulted, and they can't always watch porn, and they can't always be exposed to sexual content because of their trauma, as you're talking about healing and healing trauma in the body through music.
Yes.
So some, you know, once you go through that and you went through Jonty and you went through the sound journey, you want to see porn sometimes, you know. But let's say you've been assaulted from behind, or, you know, you've been kidnapped, you can't see some content. And there's a group of people that are literally sitting and reviewing porn and doing like...
I've seen it.
Yeah, like Braille. And they're writing everything that's going to happen in the porn movie. So you as a person has been assaulted or person who doesn't want to be exposed to a certain content, you'll be able to know what's in the porn movie. So at least you can watch it safely. So it is something to think about. Also in the therapeutic, you look at what is in reality. You know, reality is also porn, even if we like it or not.
Yeah.
And
I'd put porn in reality. I'd put it in fantasy.
No, it's in reality of consumers.
Yes.
Yeah, like music, you know.
Oh, right.
When I'm hearing what you're producing, those beautiful sounds, and I'm thinking to put it in my bedroom. Well, if you can come, it would be great. But let's say, you know, I'm very rich and I want to have you as a personal musician.
Yeah, you might have to have financial discussion.
Yes, with Mr. Zuki.
About that first.
But let's say, and you know, a lot of people say I'm not connected to this music when I'm lovemaking because I'm used to popular music or I'm used to arousing music, you know, whatever the case may be. But this is actually real music that arouses the body and the mind.
But that's an interesting thing because of the patterning and the condition that we live with. When something new comes along, it is often, it's very disorientating for a while.
Yes. Yes.
Until we can kind of connect with it and go beyond the conditioning and the patterning, quite simply.
Yep.
Mm.
I have to agree with that, that a lot of people are afraid of change and don't welcome it. And change over so slowly, you know, there are times when I have to be really patient.
I think Jonty can agree on that one.
Yeah.
They don't, no, sure. change is one thing we don't want to do.
Well, we like the idea. We like the idea of change more than the change, often because of the work that it involves.
Yeah.
Real change means that we have to really go into ourselves. We have to really own everything about us.
Yes.
And for most of us, that means going into some aspect of the shadow.
Yes.
Of that it's not all light and life.
Not the pretty sides.
And it's not all kind of white robes on the mountaintop and rainbows and bells. And
which everybody wants all the time.
And real spirituality is in the muck of your life.
Mm.
That's really what it is.
That's so powerful.
But it's the truth of it.
Mm.
Because that's who we really are. And that's where so much of our power is, if we can go and claim and own that.
Yeah. It means letting go of cherished, conditioned responses, which we've been led to believe are the truth in life. And that's hard.
I mean, for me, the early part of my journey, especially of being a teacher, was I couldn't work out the balance between being a teacher and being vulnerable at the same time.
Mm.
Hmm.
It was,
because you have to be this almighty.
That's it. And it creates an impossible space because you know that you are going to fuck that up.
Hmm.
And I did royally, you know, through a lot of mistakes. And that's what I did. But learning from that is saying how in that space that I'm actually the most effective teacher and the most effective healer when I'm really vulnerable.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
or when you don't care anymore eventually.
Yeah. And that's the space of being vulnerable. That it's just totally open to being in that moment. You
being
do what
open
you do,
to
you say what you say, and that's it.
Yeah, I remember when I started, for quite a long time, I was vulnerable and I was putting myself out on a spot and, you know, running the risk of somebody saying to me, "You're talking shit, you know, where'd you get this from?" And that used to haunt me quite a lot. And the more I did it, the more I started owning what I was talking about. Until now, I'm in a state where I don't care what people say or think because I know that it works. And it has worked for other people as well.
I don't care is a very cool statement.
But it's one of the most powerful. When it comes from the place of just knowing who you are, and it's coming from your heart. And that makes it very, very different.
Are there
because
any
then you'll do what you'll do with it. Mm. And the fact that you are always going to be judged for it as a teacher by somebody.
Mm.
And the interesting thing is when we put that kind of judgment out there, it's simply that's more a reflection of where somebody is. And that's all.
Mm.
Which sounds work on that base chakra, on that beginning of maybe the connection of starting that emotion, the internal journey, starting to work within. So it's not so much music to put in the background just to have a, you know, that few tunes to get you in the mood. Which sounds would you say that they are the sound that kind of unlock or help to a person to get connected more within?
Generally speaking, it's the lower notes, and there's different schools of thought which note that would be, but what I use is the note of C, for example, and a low C, and then ascending in pitch in the scale. When I do a chakra balancing meditation with people, we start on a C, and the vowel is Ur. But I would say, lower notes, earthy sounds like a drum, for example, works on the bass chakra. And then as you ascend, this, for example, the heart is wind. It's the element of air. So the element that's associated with that chakra has an influence on the sound.
Mm.
So the earth element, it's earthy, it's tribal, so a drum, for example. Drumming, rhythmic stuff. Water sound. Water is the next element. A watery sound.
Okay, like the your own mouth produce those sounds, or you work with a
wave basket. But I don't specifically work chakra by chakra when I'm doing a sound journey.
Connected.
I just use a wide variety of sounds and address the whole being.
Cool.
Instead of specific.
So it meets things. Different parts of you as you go.
Yes, as you go. After an hour, the different aspects, the different elements, the senses have all been addressed by this wide variety of sounds. So I use wave basket, I use this, mbira, which is also evocative. And then I add voice. So this is a sound of metal. You could say that it's associated with the fire chakra, because metal working is born from a fire process. But generally speaking, it's the repetitive patterns and the harmonics, the overtones, that get everybody. Kind of thing. Bells. There's three different bell sounds, because there's three different bells in this string. And then while I'm doing that, I go. So this tinkly sound of the bells is like a comforting sound. It's maybe the sound of a rushing stream. And if I use a rain stick, then it makes people feel relaxed, because they're safe and warm while they hear these elements. They're not exposed to them, but yet the elements are soothing at the same time. So that's an example.
Oh. It's amazing.
It works in such different level.
Yeah. And each person has a different interpretation of what's going on. For example, one person, when they heard the wave basket, it reminded them of the times they were locked up in a room by their mother, and the wave basket sounded like her sewing machine. And he had it like a flashback to a nightmarish part of his life, where another person went straight to the beach and thought, oh, how wonderful, I'm on the beach.
Takes you to your own place, to where you want to go.
You know, it's amazing. More and more in my life, I have a lot of happy places with a lot of amazing people. This studio on Friday mornings is really one of my happy places, almost regardless of what we're doing. Mm. And this just so reminds me of it.
Mm. It's a feeling of freedom.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to have the freedom to say what you want to these days, whereas before it was so restricted. And censored, absolutely. Especially in my childhood.
Mm. And the platforms that we have. I mean, even when I go and do some other media stuff, the words that you can use and the things that you can talk about are so limited and restricted.
Mm.
And here we don't have any of that, which is incredible. it's just this beautiful, beautiful thing.
Mm.
Yeah, well.
So in a sound journey, you just listen.
Yeah, in a sound journey, you receive. But in the vocal meditation, you are working together or playing together. It should be more playful than work, you know. So I don't call it a workshop. I call it a play shop. a sound play shop. Celebrate sound. You're celebrating yourself, essentially. So in the vocal meditation, everybody's interacting, and it's important that everybody puts their voice in. And then afterwards, the sound journey, you lie down and you simply go on holiday. You travel without a boat or
that's
a plane.
That's how it feels.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it feels. And by the way, you really think you've done the whole world.
Yeah.
Because some elements are more Hawaiian, Caribbean. Some elements are more African.
Yeah.
You feel you're in the jungle. You feel you're in the beach. As you said, maybe you're in as a baby. As a growing up, you know, as a child growing up.
Yeah.
Wow, that's, and you don't learn that. Do you teach yourself?
I was taught by music and sound as a child. And on the job, since I decided I want to be a sound therapist and I want to help people restore harmony to their lives, I learned on the job and have had many different sound experiences. And I can honestly say by now my favorite sound is silence. And a lot of people agree with that. You know, everybody's looking for peace. Where do you find peace? Mm. You find it through sound, through the movement of these waves going through your body. And if they're harmonious waves, eventually you come to a place of silence, because that's where everything came from and returns to. The universe, the explosion, it was born out of silence. You know, in the beginning was the word. Or in Hindu tradition, Nada Brahma, the fundamental truth is sound. That explosion of the universe has sent energy waves, and which are still traveling through, and everything has a vibration. Yet holding that vibration is space and silence. So, you know, people talk about, oh, I want peace. They talk about love and peace and harmony. Well, you find it on a fundamental level in the essence of your being, that those qualities are there. We just have to wash away the stuff we've accumulated that we've been conditioned with. Oh, you have to do this. You have to chase this. You have to achieve this. You need to be perfect. You need to be acknowledged. That's all bullshit.
It is a thought.
Yeah, you have to just acknowledge yourself. And what is yourself? It is creation. So surrender to that, and that's a good place to start.
How about a few minutes of what a sound journey experience might be with what you have here and your voice?
Okay. Sure.
Cool. Sound journey. Here we go.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Just 3-4 minutes will be beautiful of that.
Yeah. So I invite the listeners then to close their eyes and just listen to this without having any preconceptions or expectations. Just allow it to wash through you. And that's what I instruct people to do in a sound journey, is to just let go, essentially. Let go of your mind, your past, your future, which is where the mind spends most of its time. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Love that in the consciousness of pleasure, everything is about love making, is about energy moving, is about the beauty of sex and love, but not sex as most of our world defines it, but sex as an expression of the heart of the soul, of the beauty of who we are. Well, you're doing a beautiful experience tomorrow afternoon.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yes, it's at the Lum Rim Buddhist Center, which is next to Auckland Park in Vredendorp. And it's a combination of yoga with live sounds, which I'll be producing. The yoga class will be conducted by Pravina, Yogini Pravina Ranshod. And I'll be playing sound with the yoga class, and then afterwards we'll do a vocal meditation as I described earlier, and we'll end with a sound journey, of course, which is where you lie down, close your eyes and allow yourself to be transformed and transported. So that's from 2 until 5 p.m. at the Lum Rim Buddhist Center. You can find the details on www.lumrim. And then next Saturday as well, I'm doing one at the Shanti Sanctuary in Bedford View, and you can contact me for bookings on that, which is on 072-220-3736, 072-220-3736. And those are the sound things I'm doing. I'm also doing a few performances with my longtime collaborator and conspirator Greg Georgiadis, who's a masterful player of guitar, bouzouki and ukulele, etc. And those are in Pretoria. You can also visit my Facebook page for details on those, or my website, www.soundman.co.za.
Soundman.
Soundman.
Sugarman, Soundman.
There you go.
The real lover man. That's the real lover man.
It's all making love.
I want to thank you for something so real. It's real. It's working in our DNA. That's how I feel.
Mm. On a cellular level.
And, you know, as much as I'm thinking, you know, where does it fit in our modern life, I think we don't need to think where does it fit, because it will unfold.
Mm.
And when we stop with our nonsense,
yes,
it will be open for some truth.
Yeah.
And that is unbelievable.
Great. You're so welcome. And it's such a pleasure to be able to come and talk freely and openly about something that is real and something that is love. Essentially, sound and silence together are an expression of love and harmony.
Wow. Next week, we are going somewhere we have not been for a while.
I'm always a little bit anxious when you say that. But I'm dying to know, because maybe I can get naked. Maybe.
Well, this one's right up your alley next week.
Right up your alley. Every time you say that, I feel so violated, and I like it. Right up your alley. What's my alley?
I think next
week. Is Ellie coming?
No, she's away. Oh. But I think next week we need to do a naughty show, because we haven't done one for a while.
Whatever you want. I'm your woman.
There we go. I knew that.
Wow.
So we want some naughty people next week, so let's invite some naughty friends.
Oh, awesome.
Yucko and Lisa, we're putting out an invitation to you guys for next week.
Mm.
Any of our other naughty friends, you are so welcome. I think we must invite Erica, a few other people, and I think we're going to have lots of fun.
Okay. So
can I watch?
You are so welcome. You can join and you can create the soundtrack for the naughty show. There you go.
This is naughty show. We're going to do
first,
something.
Yeah, we'll do some cool sex positions. We'll talk about some new stuff happening in the world of sex.
Yeah, cool.
And as with us always, wherever it goes, it goes. So, Chris, you are so welcome to be here next Friday morning to create the soundtrack.
Okay, it's not going to be your usual soundtrack that people associate with such activities.
No.
You're like, waka chika waka.
We needed you on that porn show when we were looking for original porn music.
So, if you want to come back next Friday morning and do the soundtrack, you are so welcome.
Oh, my goodness. I'll ponder that.
Give that one some thought.
I might be corrupted by you.
No, the beautiful thing is that
if I haven't done that yet, Chris, then we got a problem.
Yeah. That Jonty is pervertible.
Pervertible. Tell us about that.
So pervertible, and I have to think about some of the stuff that you have here. Pervertible is finding a sexual use for common household items.
What?
So think about a toothbrush. Think about face cloth dipped in hot water. Think about some of the things that you have in your kitchen that you can use in different ways on the body. Things in your bathroom. Those are pervertibles.
Even the shower head.
That's it. Those are pervertibles.
Pervertibles.
Chris Tokalon, I've so enjoyed this, and I love the time with you because we don't get together that often anymore because you're in Cape Town and I'm here. But it's such an honor to share with you. Thank you.
Ah, it's a pleasure and an honor to share with you. It's wonderful to be allowed to find a voice on the air.
Always. Mm. I like bread. I don't know if you do. I like bread.
The curse word these days.
No, it's bread? Not. Actually,
is it pervertible?
Actually,
is it a pervertible?
I'm sorry, that is so much cuck. But it's not rye bread. It's not chia butter. It's this kind of bread. Up next is Cusper and the team. We wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.